You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
You are the life.
Welcome today to Lifeline, brought to you by Bob Allen Ministries.
When the storm's within us range,
you are the light.
You're the master of the waves. You are the lifeline, the mighty God who saves.
Here's your host, Bob Allen.
Hey, good morning, good morning, good morning. I'm not Bob Allen, but I'm Landon Allen. Thanks for tuning in to Lifeline this morning. I'll be with you in the studio. Of course, it is Easter weekend, so first of all, let me wish everybody a blessed Easter weekend, a safe Easter weekend. Please, before you go about your activities, take a moment to pray. Say, Father, give me and my family peace. Let us get along. Let Aunt so-and-so, when she comes to dinner, please be muzzled this season so we can all have a nice, enjoyable Easter dinner, or whatever the case is. I like that. You know I like that fun. God is fun. Living with Christ is fun. But listen, you wake up somebody right now. You call somebody. And say, listen, man, turn on your radio, WCNO.com, 89.9 on your FM dial right now. You need to hear this message. We all hear about the resurrection, but I'm going to put it to a level I don't think that you've thought about. So you're going to want to hear this. Wake up somebody, tell them, tune in, WCNO.com, 89.9, or 89.9 FM, tell them, listen, turn on your computer, man, WCNO.com right now. You can click live broadcast, WCNO.com, live broadcast, you're in, or on demand, anytime. Just same thing, just go to on demand, follow what it does. If you want to start life over again in Christ, if you're thinking, you know what, it is Easter weekend, maybe I need a fresh start on my life. Maybe I need to surrender my ways and say, look, Lord, man, resurrect me. Oh, God. I don't know how I got in this mess. I don't know how I got this far down. I don't know how I got bogged out with stuff and burdens and cares and blah and worries of the world, but I need a fresh start too, Lord. We'll call up here. Get one. Nobody's going to get it for you. Hear me? Nobody's going to get Christ for you. It's up to you. Your mommy can't do it. Your daddy can't do it. Your uncle can't do it. Your boss can't do it. So call up here, 221-1100, 221-1100, 888-221-8990. Call up here. Listen, I'm going to start with the most powerful verse you've ever heard in your life. If not, you're about to hear it. Jesus said this. This is his exact words, if I can find it. Hold on. It's John 11:25. I flipped my Bible, and then I went right past it. In John 11:25. You'll find that Jesus says this. He says, I am the resurrection. Listen to this now. I am the resurrection and the life. He said it. He said, I am the, and if you break that down, here's the irony. If you know scripture and you really know Christ, he's all those. He is the I am. He is the resurrection. He is the life. You got to listen to this. Listen to this real quick. John 11:25, Jesus said, and it says this clearly. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection. We could stop right there. I could say have a nice day after that. Just think about that. Meditate on that for the week. I am the resurrection. I am it. You want to resurrect? You better come to me. You can't go around me and resurrect your life, because you know what? I am the resurrection, he said, and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever believeth, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Then he asked the most important question you'll ever be asked in your whole entire life. He said, believeth thou this? Let me read this another way and make it easier on you. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yes, shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believe in me shall never die. And he said, do you believe this? That's my question for you this morning. Do you believe that? Do you believe that he is the resurrection? He is the life. And if you believe in him, though you might have been dead in your sinful ways and nature and thoughts and without Christ and without spirit, you will live. And whosoever lives, that means the one that decided to go ahead and believe in him, and believes in me, shall never die. My question to you this morning is, do you believe that? Do you? Do you believe that? When we speak of the resurrection, we speak of it as the biggest, most fascinating miracle that's ever took place. The biggest awe in all of history. We're like, wow, that is just an awe. That's an amazing fact that he rose from the dead. The greatest story of a man named Jesus who died on a cross, as many witnessed firsthand. Let me say that again. As many witnessed firsthand. There's so many people that know the Bible's a book and all these stories are great and this and that. Listen, you are so far lost, it's not even funny. You better repent yesterday. The bottom line is, it's a historical fact. You know how many people tried to prove the Bible wrong over history? We've had 2,000 years of a million brilliant people who thought, I'm going to prove this thing wrong. It's a farce. I'm done with it. I'm tired of these Christians. I mean, there was persecution all the way from the beginning, go through the whole Old Testament, and the after the death and resurrection of Christ. It's always been a thing, and someone's always been trying to prove it wrong. They've never been able to prove anything wrong about the Bible. They've went back to research the historical values of the Old Testament, and at the end of the conclusion, most of them end up getting saved because they're like, you know what? This thing is so accurate, it's not even funny. It's the most accurate book you'll ever have your hands on. If you don't believe me, test it. Don't talk about it. Don't go, oh, it's a bunch of stuff in this. Test it. Go back and check the historical facts. Check everything, and you'll go, oh, my gosh, I've been blinded. Yeah, Satan's real. I've been blinded, and this thing is so real. So we witnessed the greatest story of the man named Jesus. Died on the cross, as many witnessed firsthand, was buried, rose from the dead on the third day by the mighty power of the Spirit of God. Remember that. He rose from the dead the third day by the mighty power of the Spirit of the living God. He did in the physical. Now think about this for a minute. I'm gonna put a different picture in your mind this morning. He physically did the role play of what we have to do in the Spirit. If you'll follow his physical life, you'll go, oh my gosh, I have to do exactly that in the Spirit if I want to survive as a spiritual individual endowed with the Holy Spirit from God and able to make decisions from God, able to communicate with God, able to get prayers answered, and able to overcome this life in the flesh by the power of the Spirit. He said this, all right, or let me say this. He did in the physical what we must do in the spiritual. He lived it out as a giant play so you and I don't have to guess and what it takes to overcome the sin nature we are born into. Unless you die to yourself and your own thoughts and desires and start your life over as a newborn baby with God as your father and Jesus as your teacher, you'll never be able to change one thing about yourself. Let me say that again. Unless you die to yourself. What's that mean? That means I'm tired of being overweight. I'm tired of not being able to put the fork down. I'm tired of having these heart conditions. I'm tired of drinking myself to death where my liver's going out. I'm tired of smoking myself to death. My skin looks like a lizard. I can't stop. I see him killing myself. I don't care. I'm tired of being late for work every day. I'm tired of the boss yelling at me because I'm lazy. I'm tired of not ironing my clothes. I'm tired of my marriage being in shambles. Unless you die to yourself and your own thoughts and desires and start living life as a newborn baby, and I mean that, you got to say, you know what, Lord, I'm done. I surrender. I'm 15. I'm 16. I'm 74. I'm 82 years old. I'm 63 years old. I just hadn't got that joy, peace, and all that stuff. I'm not happy. I'm done. You know what, Lord, I surrender. As a 67-year-old man, I surrender today. And I want you to be my father, God. I will listen. I will start humble. I will get in your word and I'll listen. You be my father. And Jesus, you be my teacher. Unless you're willing to do that and humble yourself as a little child, you'll never, I'm going to say it again, you will never change one thing about yourself. Oh, you might change it today, but next week it's back. You might make it 3 months, but in 3 months from now, it's back. A year from now, it's back. You'll never have a permanent change that takes place and stays in your life until you do that. You won't change your heart condition. You won't change your medical condition. You won't change your lazy ways. You won't change your foul mouth. You won't change your marriage. You won't change your lustful addictions or desires. It's time to take part in the resurrection of life in Christ Jesus. That's what he called it. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. You can't have it. You're born in this world, which is a sinful, dead nature. Because what happens is the wages of sin are death. The Bible says so. By the time you're born, you're just constantly sin over and over. My desires, my thoughts, my feelings, what I want. It's always about us. It's not about the other person. I won't go out of my way, a mile out of my way to go help someone. It's about me. It's my time. It's my stuff. Well, until we change that, which can only be done through Christ. He said it. He said, what did he say? I am the resurrection. So if you want to resurrect a new person, you can't do it any other way. Buddha's not going to do it for you. Muhammad, none of them people. You can't do it through a dead God. You just can't. You've got to do it. The only way you can do it is through Christ Jesus. The word resurrection means this, a resurgence from death, to resurge, to come up from the dead back as a living being, to be raised to life again. If you look it up, that's what the word means. Let's go to Luke 24. Since it is Easter, we're going to follow the Easter story because I want you to see the resurrection. But here's what you're looking for. You have to see it as you. Everybody looks at it as Christ. Wow, that's fascinating what he did. Unreal. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You're the best. What'd that do for you? What'd that do for you? When Christ rose from the dead, except for you having some fascinating story to tell that nobody's ever done before, and it's a miracle, Sharing the story is great. Maybe you'll lead someone to Christ. That's what it's all about. But what does it do for you? What's it mean to me that he rose from the dead? So what, you know? Listen, let's put this in practical things of what it means to you. And before I start this, let me say this. If you've caught the stuff I've been saying so far, and you're thinking, you know, he's right, because I've got all those problems. I got marriage problems. I'm addicted to honey buns. I can't stop smoking. Man, he nailed me this morning. Call up here. 221-1100. Say, Landon, you're right, and I'm done, man. I'm done. I'm 83 years old, and I'm done. Because I don't know when the grave's coming, and I've never gotten it right, and I know I hadn't gotten it right, and I've been playing like I got it right. And I've gone to church 20 years. I go sit in the pew, and I leave, and, you know, I don't have no power during the week. I can't control nothing. I can't stop eating, can't stop smoking. Nothing changes. Nothing has changed in my life. I just sit there like a religious heathen, and nothing changes. Well, call up here. 221-1100. What was that? 221-1100, and say, hey, man, I'm serious this time. I'm done. I'm done. I give my heart, that means the internal thing that makes me function, the thing that makes me think my thoughts and do my actions, I surrender it to Christ today and I'm serious. I'm ready to give up my life and live according to Scripture and what He says, apply His principles and let His Spirit take over my well-being. If you're out of town, call anybody. He wants to give it to you, 888-221-8990, 888-221-8990. Let me say this. I'm going to go on with the teaching, but if nobody calls this station, then let that be a lesson to you too. We're in way worse condition. Our heart is so cold and so waxed cold and so dark that we don't even know that we need Christ as our Savior. Think about that. If nobody calls this and you're listening today, let that be a wake-up call to you yourself. No one even cares about Him anymore. You ready? Luke 24, 1 through 8. This is the account of Jesus' death, burial, resurrection. This is what Easter's all about. Now, this is when He appears to His disciples. He's gone into the grave. He spent the 3 days there and rose just as He told them. When I read this, I want you to listen to the proof after proof after proof after proof. Jesus talks about, and this is mainly words in red. This is Christ teaching this. He talks about, I did as I said. I did as the prophet said. I did as Moses wrote of me. I did as the psalmist wrote of me. He references many things where people prophesied this coming to pass, and it came to pass. He himself, he said, I told you I would do this, and I did it. There's many things where it's infallible proof. You cannot in any way, shape, fashion, or form denote or take the credit away from him truly being God, because nobody could fulfill what all was said about him that would be fulfilled unless he be God. And as they, listen, Luke 24, verse 36, as they thus spake, Jesus himself, now remember, he's appearing to his disciples after he rose from the dead, stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. That's the opening word here, peace be unto you. There are some of you, like I said a minute ago, 50, 60, 70, 80 years old, you don't know what peace is. You only taste peace in a fleeting glance, in a moment. In a second, you taste it for a second, it's gone off your tongue so quick, you have no idea. The next thing you know, turmoil is in your mind again. He said, peace be unto you. You want that peace, you better call up here and stop playing. 221-1100, 888-221-8990. But they were terrified and afraid, and supposed they'd seen a spirit. This is what happens, we're so scared to come to Christ. The only one that loves us and cared about us, and we just rather live in the world and be bounced around like by whatever and whoever, and not worry about medical conditions or all that. Who cares what happens to me? I'd just rather go get it, Landon, than I would come to Christ. That's ridiculous. Listen, they were terrified and afraid, just like us. And suppose they'd seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are you troubled? This is what he's saying to you today. Why are you troubled? Hey, why do your thoughts arise in your heart? Why do you have those kind of thoughts in your heart? Why are you troubled? Why do you think like that? He said, behold my hands and my feet. That it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands, and he showed them his feet. Now remember, we're reading the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, the book that's written by a doctor. Luke was a physician, a well-known man, a well-rounded man, a sane man, a sober man. Okay, Luke was trusted with his peers. He was esteemed high. He was the physician. They didn't question him. He was educated. He was a brilliant man, a man of God, a man of honor. He was a righteous man, okay? So when we read this, this is not some whack job that just wrote a book. This is one of the most credible men you'll ever read about or hear about in history that penned these words. This is accurate doctrine. He said, Jesus appeared to them, man. They saw him, over 500 there, saw him, touched him, looked at the hands, looked at the feet. So this is not something that was, this is a credible account by eyewitnesses that penned this very day in history. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets. I'm at verse 44 in case you're following me. Luke 24, 44. These are the words which I, Jesus, spake unto you while I was with you, that all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Now, I looked that up. That's 26 books. That's 26 books. You're telling me that this Christ, Jesus Christ, he fulfilled all things that were prophesied or spoken beforehand in 26 books of the Bible. The law of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Deuteronomy, Leviticus, you know, the first five. We got the prophets. There's too many of them to rattle off right now. And we got Psalms. He fulfilled 26 books of scripture in every verse that ever spoke about him that said he will do this, he will come in this manner, he will be buried this way, he'll be crucified this way, he'll be the Messiah for Israel, he'll be the Messiah for the world. All those prophecies got fulfilled. Now, you don't have to be a high school educated or college educated person to realize if a man can fulfill that, it's not a game, nor is it a joke, nor is he a farce or a story, nor is he the Easter legend, nor is he the Easter bunny. He's the risen Savior. It's real. It's as real as it gets. If you pinch yourself right now, it's more real than that. Then, now listen to this. And this is what's not happening, okay? We're stuck at, hey, praise God for Jesus rising from the dead. He's the man. Well, guess what? Unless you surrender, lay down your life like I just talked about and be resurrected new with him as a babe and let him teach you, train you, and guide you, you won't understand scripture. You can read scripture all you want. You'll be an educated, I don't want to say it, but fool. You really will. Because you'll be living a foolish lifestyle. People will be watching you thinking you're a Christian. You'll say, oh, I know this and I know that scripture. I can quote this book and I can quote that book. And they'll think, well, that's a man of God. And as soon as you sin, as soon as you get caught doing something stupid, you never had any relationship with Christ. You just walked in the religious ritual of men, learning doctrine, learning scripture, so you could sound wise. You could talk about it just the same thing as a football game. I can sit down with somebody and talk religion. I'm educated. Well, as soon as you do something stupid, they're thinking that's Christ. They go, well, if that's what a Christian is, I don't want to be one. Listen to what happens here. When you get into Christ, when you get in this word and get him in you and start to open your mind to him and start to open your spirit to him and release yourself and die to your flesh and say, Christ, you come in, you teach me, you train me, you be my daddy, God, and you be my teacher, Jesus. When you do that, here's what happens. The very next verse, 45, says this. Then opened he their understanding. Then Christ Jesus himself opened their understanding. Until this happens, I have many people, even in my own family, ask me so many questions about the Bible and so many questions about Christ. Well, if he's Christ, how come this? And how come that? How come this person got killed? And how come that happened? How come that couple over there is out of finances? And listen, when you get into scripture, all right, and you realize that these words spake Jesus while he was with you, that he said, all things are fulfilled concerning me that are written in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Until he opens your understanding, you can only understand the scriptures so far. I've sat in many churches that take the gospel and they can go so far with it. And guess what? They're stuck. They can't heal anybody. They can't pray for any sickness in the church. No disease. If a person was to fall out in the aisle, guess what? There might be 1,000 people in that membership that morning. I don't believe one would go pray for him. A person fell out in the aisle sick. They'd say, jump up, panic, and call 911. You know why? Because they've spent their life studying the scripture, but they've never allowed Jesus to come in and start to resurrect them a new person by the Spirit of God. The same Spirit that raised him from the dead can resurrect you. And until you do that, this verse will not apply to you. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead on the third day. And that repentance, which is a reformation, to be reformed in Christ, and that repentance and remission of sins, that's a full freedom, that's a full pardon for all the stupid things we might have done, So let me say it again. And that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name. You can only get that. You can only get repentance and you can only get pardon from your sins by Jesus Christ. He's the only one ordained for that office. So that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. It goes everywhere, but it began there and spread to the whole world. And ye are witnesses of these things. Here we go again. Witness, 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 witness. If you've ever thought something might not be true, this is not the book. This is not the book, okay? And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Catch this. Physically and spiritually, catch this. If you don't receive the promise of the Father, you're powerless. You'll be the educated fool. You'll understand scripture, but to live it, you know not what that means. To walk it out, you have no idea. To help the next guy walk it out, you have no idea, because all you can do is recite it as a poem. But to have it inside you, dwelling and living and guiding you and talking to you, you don't know what that means. All right, ye are witnesses of these things. And Jesus says in verse 49, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But don't move, he said. You tarry right here in the city of Jerusalem until you be endowed with power from on high. You stop and you wait. Don't you move. The world will eat you up, he said. You sit right here and you wait until you be endowed with the power from on high. Wow. Wow. Now let's just go there real quick. Come on. Acts 2. Let's go. Acts 2. Verse 1. If I can get my Bible to go there. Come on, baby. Here we go. Ready? This is it. He said, you sit right here. You tarry in Jerusalem until you be endowed with the power from on high. Here it is. Let's go read that account. Acts 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord. In other words, they were all in one accord. They were in one spot for one reason only. They were sitting there waiting on this power that was going to come from on high that Jesus promised the Father would send them. I don't even think they knew what was coming. They don't know what it looks like, but they knew they were supposed to be there, and they're supposed to be waiting, and they were obedient, and they were in one accord, in one place, waiting for the promise. If you'll do that, you'll see it. If you guys would stop bickering amongst yourselves and talking about who's doing what and who got the new car this week and who married who and whose kids are off the chain and whose kids are dating the wrong kid and all that kind of stuff, and sit in one accord and go, you know what? All that's not going to help us. It's not going to gain our church body, our personal body, our family, anything. It's not going to benefit the body of Christ in any way. Let's get together in one accord and let's just worship Jesus and let him come in and do the resurrecting. Let's let him change our lives. Let's let him dig deep down inside of us and bring us back up from our dead sinful nature we're born into and make us a new creature in Christ. So when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. Suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared upon them, unto them, cloven tongues like as of fire. It sat upon each of them. Ready? They were all filled. They were all filled. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit, if it's your translation. And began to speak with other tongues. Listen to the next phrase. As the Spirit gave them utterance. They didn't speak anything they could possibly speak on their own, and the Spirit wouldn't have had to give them utterance. The Spirit is the one that will give you a new life. The Spirit is the one that will resurrect you from the dead. The Spirit is the one that will change your nature. As I said a minute ago, you will not change one thing. You'll never change one thing about yourself without the Spirit. If there's no Spirit, there's no life. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. I am the life. He said in John 6:63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. And if you look it up in the Greek, it means to give life. So let's say it this way. It is the Spirit that gives life. Your flesh, that's your natural body, he said, profits you absolutely nothing. If you do not believe me, turn to John 6, verse 63 and look at it. You need to do this, period. Whether you believe me or not, you need to look at this. If you know the verse by heart, you still need to look at it. Looking at his words, there's some kind of effect that takes place. I can't explain it. I've known many scriptures by heart, and the day I looked at the scripture I thought I knew so well, he opened the eyes, just like we read it again ago. And then opened he their eyes. What did it say? Where was that? He said, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scripture. When I go there in scripture and I turn to a verse I've known for 100 years and I start studying that verse, I think it's just the obedience and the craving and the hunger of wanting to know it all of a sudden God will often open my eyes of understanding, and I'll see the same verse I've known since I was a child in a manner that I never saw it before. Don't think you know scripture by heart. You go there and look at it. I don't care if you've seen that verse 100,000 times. The 100,001 time when you're hungry to know it, he's going to open your eyes of understanding, and you're going to understand and see things about scripture you never saw in that verse in all your life, because you never came to it hungry, expecting the Spirit to open your eyes and teach you. You thought, let me study this long enough because I'm a wise man, and if I stare at this long enough, it's going to come to me and I'm going to get it. That's not how you do it. He gives it to you. You don't get it. He gives it to you. In the same area, okay, in Acts 2, if you just glance over at verse 32, it says this: this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Think about that. This is not a farce. There were many, many witnesses written because Luke was a physician. He was smart. He penned this, and many, many witnesses witnessed this account. It's infallible. Let's go to Romans real quick, 8:1. I'm almost out of time, but I'm going to tie this together real quick. You ready? Romans 8, verse 11. Romans 8, 11, he said, but if the Spirit, the same one we've been talking about now, the resurrection Spirit, the one that will resurrect you to life again and raise you to life again from your dead flesh, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he, who's he, that Spirit, that raised up Christ from the dead, shall also quicken, we just learned quicken means give life, to your mortal body by the Spirit dwelling in you. But if the same Spirit of him that raised up Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in you, that means you're putting him in constantly, he's staying in you, he's happy to be in you because you're a man of God, you're a woman of God. If the same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken you and your mortal body by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Some of us need to be resurrected this morning. We need a quickening. You need a quickening bad. And it doesn't come through just, oh, hallelujah, Lord, thank you for resurrecting. You're the man. What did it do for you? It gave you the same thing. He walked it out in the flesh so you could see what you have to do. You have to lay down yourself. I don't care if it takes you 3 days or 3 months. You lay it down and get over it. Kill yourself. Crucify that flesh. Stop living in your own mind of your own lust and your own desires and say, Lord, I am through. I surrender my life to you. I'll do what you say, when you say. I'll go where you say and how you say. And if you don't tell me to do it, I won't do it. And if I'm about to do something wrong, tell me and I'll stop it. That's what you do. When you do that, you'll get resurrected a new man. You will. You will. All right. Now you need to look at that too. Look at Luke 24 and then look at Acts 2, verse 1 through 4, and look at Romans 8, verse 11. Luke 24, read it. Then go to Acts 2, verse 1 through 4. So you can really get this now. Then go to Romans 8, verse 11. All right. I love you. I'm going to make a few announcements. Got some big stuff coming up this weekend. It's Easter weekend. I want you to join me tomorrow morning. Get up early. And I want you to come to Indian Riverside Park in Jensen Beach. We're having a big Easter sunrise service. Okay, Indian Riverside Park. I'm not tooting horn. I'll be drumming for it. So if you don't know me, never wanted to meet me, hey, come to the thing. Look for the drummer and come up and say, dude, I've been listening on the radio. Man, good job, bad job, whatever. You know what I mean? Come at least introduce yourself. So tomorrow morning, Easter sunrise service, Indian Riverside Park at 6:30. I need you to support this ministry, okay? Haven't gotten a lot of support lately. I really need some support for this ministry, and I want you to send your tithe. It can be, listen, you can be $10, $20. It doesn't have to be a lot. Just give something. Give me a little bit. If everybody give a little bit, oh, man, it would really help a lot, and I'd really appreciate it. I need your help. Bob Allen Ministry, P.O. Box 1603. Bob Allen Ministry, P.O. Box 1603, Jensen Beach, Florida, 34958. All right, email me this week, BobAllenMinistry@gmail.com. Hit me up, BobAllenMinistry@gmail.com. Landon, this, that, whatever. Talk to me, man. Listen, hey, here's something else big. If you got little kids, tomorrow at the First Baptist Church in Jensen Beach, at 10 a.m. service, they're going to do an Easter egg hunt in the snow. They're bringing in like 6 tons of snow so kids can Easter egg hunt in the snow. So that's something big. If you got a little kid, man, come out there and let them have some fun. They'll learn about Jesus. I love you. I love you. Happy Easter weekend.
Listening to Lifeline with your host, Bob Allen. A broadcast ministry brought to you by your generous gifts of support. To support this ministry, please send your gifts to Bob Allen Ministries, P.O. Box 1603, Jensen Beach, Florida, 34958. To contact Dr. Allen, the email address is boballenministries@gmail.com. Thank you for listening, and join us next week at the same time for Lifeline.